Let us turn to Psalm 146. The heading is, Blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It begins with a hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth for ever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign for ever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Hallelujah. These are precious words that this psalmist expresses here. And he has placed his hope in God. And we can agree with him and also place our hope in the living God. He says, Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I believe, dear brothers and sisters, that we have no one else in whom we can place our hope, but we can put our hope in him. We do not need to rely on princes or on people who cannot help. If the breath leaves them, as the scripture says here, then they are finished. But we can put our hope in God, and then we know that we are safe, whether we live in this world or whether we leave this world. Then we have a hope, and a true hope, that is not given by man, but by God. And those who place their hope in him are secure for time and for eternity. And therefore, dear brothers and sisters, let us also call upon this God, our God, in whom we have placed our hope this afternoon. Let us praise him, let us worship him, and give him the glory. Let us stand up and do it together. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, also for this hour again. We thank you, Lord, that we know in whom we place our hope. Lord, we know that you are our hope and our strength. And we know, Lord, that we put our hope in you, not following our own plans, but observing your plan, which you have established for all time, O Lord. We thank you once again for the precious word, for this time that you have given in our days. Lord, we thank you for enlightenment. We thank you for everything, Lord. We are so glad that we can belong to you and that we feel connected to all the saints who are not dead but live forever. Lord, they put their hope in you and they were allowed to see what they believed. Lord, we too believe with all our heart what they believed, for there is no other, whether in the New or Old Testament. You are from the beginning and remain forever and ever. That is why we praise you this afternoon. Lord, we are so glad that it is written here, Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Lord, we may say that you are not only our hope, you are also our help in the days of tribulation and in the days of distress, Lord. Praise be to your glorious name. You who created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. Yes, Lord, who is faithful forever. Lord, we have read it. When we humans become unfaithful, but you still remain faithful, Lord, praise be to your glorious name. Praise and worship be brought to you even in this afternoon hour. Faithful Lord, we come humble before you and ask you to bless us, Lord. Bless your messenger, bless your word. Let your word become powerful in our midst. This is our desire, and your spirit, Lord, that he may come to his right. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name. Lord, you are able to do everything. We place everything in your hands and know that you will give above asking and understanding. Thanks be to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to the Lord that we can believe and know that it is so, and that we place our trust entirely in the grace and in the Lord who has loved us, spoken to us, and placed the word in us as a seed, as a promise that will bear fruit. We have considered precious thoughts from the Word of God this weekend. Today, we will not dwell on it for long, but read a few more scriptures and then go into prayer together, asking God to make his word a living reality in us, that we have not only heard it, but that we move it in our hearts so that God can confirm it, yes, that he can make it a reality. The first scripture I read last night was in Mark 12, and it referred to people who had been sent away by the Pharisees and Herod's followers. And when they came to the Lord, they said, "Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth." They wanted to ask catch questions. They had to, whether intentionally or unintentionally, they had to bring such a testimony over their lips. They stood before the True One and could say nothing other than what applied to him. In the Gospel of John, there are two words that I would like to read. They are well known to us. Gospel of John 3, verse 33. "He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God." We have also spoken about this, the fact that people speak on their own behalf, as we heard in the opening word, when they have no more breath in them, then their plans come to an end. But if we trace back the plan of God, then we have to say that the hour struck for an Enoch, it struck for a Noah, for an Abraham, for an Isaac, for a Jacob, for a Moses? Was that the end of God's plan? No, it went on and on, because these were men of God who were in contact with God and proclaimed the plan of God by bearing witness to what the Lord had revealed to them. God's plan has never ended and will never end. God is carrying out His plan, and we want to be a part of this divine plan, as all prophets and men of God have been from the beginning, even with our Lord. When He was crucified, many thought that this was the end. And it was not the end. It was a new beginning. With God, there is no end. It always goes on. We also see it with the apostles. One after the other went home. And then at the end, John remained on the Isle of Patmos. And to him the Lord spoke the prophetic things that are particularly precious to us at this time and mean so much. Our Lord bore witness on earth in many different ways. And it says here, He that has received His testimony has set to His seal that God is true. When Paul writes to the Hebrews, let us draw near to the throne of grace with a true heart in perfect faith and find grace to help in time of need, then it can only be in those who have been imbued with divine truthfulness. No man is true of himself. God alone is true, and every man is a liar. But when we are imbued with the truthfulness of God, then we can come before Him in the presence of God, in this divine truthfulness, and expect help from Him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7, it says, from verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Jesus repeatedly emphasized that he was sent by God, just as the prophets were sent by God. John was a man sent by God, and Jesus emphasized, He that sent me is with me, for I do always those things that please Him. This divine sending is connected with the Word of God, with the overall commission of God. There was no prophet who was not connected to the overall commission of God. All prophets, from the first to the last, had a part in what God had proclaimed in advance. And likewise, all those who have been called to proclaim the gospel since Golgotha, they have received a share in the divine commission, in the work of God. In this case, the matter is very clear. Those who speak of themselves seek their own glory. It could not be said more clearly. And then the next half sentence reads, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. There must be a divine commission in order to be able to speak in the name of the Lord. And truly, then it is no longer a matter of glory. Then we have to suffer shame. Paul, as the great apostle, said, we apostles have been assigned the last place. We are treated like dung. Let no one think that he will be honored with the cause of God. They are mistaken. This time will only come when the earthly has come to an end, and then we will enter into the glory of God. Then the tide will turn. Here on earth, we have nothing to do with honor. On the contrary, we will have to go through misjudgment, through slander, through dishonor, through everything. And the Lord says, blessed are those who endure all these things, for so did the prophets endure. I do not want to speak on my own behalf and believe that Brother Branham was not speaking on his own behalf either. I am convinced that God spoke through him. He was not seeking his own honor, because then he would have told the people what they have heard for a long time and would still like to hear now. He made many enemies and did not speak what people's ears were itching to hear. And we are grateful for that, because there are already enough of the other kind. Everyone looks to his own way, but not to the way of God. Thanks be to the Lord that he has sent a man before the second coming, who straightens the crooked, lowers the high, raises the lowly, so that a people prepared for the Lord can be created. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. If this word is true, and we believe it is, then all who walk and speak of themselves seek nothing but their own glory. Then the Lord says, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. Now two or three passages from Revelation. The first two from chapter 3. Here it says, in verse 7, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, He that has the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. The main point is the term, thus saith the Holy One, the True One. Only truth can emerge from the True One. And just as we are all coming earthly after Adam, so we are all coming spiritually after the second Adam, after Christ, according to the truthfulness of God that has been revealed in Him. Thus saith the Holy One, the True One. He is not only true, but He is the True One. And we already mentioned this last night from 1 John 5, verse 20. We are in Him that is true, even in His Son. This is the true God and eternal life. We too must take note of this. We must understand ourselves as a divine reality. If we are in doubt about our spiritual identity, then God will not be able to go any further with us. We need to know who we are and what we are and for what purpose God has destined us. Earthly, we can all identify who we are. And this is called an identity card. And Paul writes that the ID was with spirit and power. God wants us to understand our spiritual identity. God wants us to know who we are. He finally wants to be able to rely on us and count on us. And we also want to count on Him. Our Lord could say that God exalts Him at all times because He does what is pleasing to Him. If we are now in the True One, as sons and daughters of God, and are penetrated by His divine truthfulness, then this is not a theory for us, but a divine fact. Then we are not only in the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God is also in us. And it will turn out at the end of days that we have not run in vain, nor heard and preached in vain, but God's word for this time will accomplish in this time what it was sent to do. These things saith He that is holy, He that is true, He that has the key of David, He that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. We remember the word of authority spoken by the Lord. What you loose on earth will also be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. divine authority. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, among those who have put their trust not in men, but in God, and they shall not be disappointed. On the contrary, they shall be blessed. God is reality. His word is as true and holy as He is holy and true. He cannot take back His word. What He has said remains. In Revelation 3, verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." We have also already spoken about this thought. He who is the Amen, the realization, the conclusion, the last, in whom everything is summed up and comes to completion. Thus saith the One who is the Amen. We can all say Amen. But He is the Amen. Do we realize that? Thus says He who is the Amen. If we read 2 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21 to it, then in Him all the promises of God are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. He is the yes. He is the Amen. In Him is the promise. In Him the fulfillment is guaranteed. Thus saith He who is the Amen. Amen means, so be it. And so it is. Thus saith He who is the Word Himself, and in whom all the word finds its fulfillment. And not one scripture will be broken, not one promise will remain unfulfilled. Are these not all marvelous sayings in the Word of God? Thus says the Holy One and the True One, and then thus says the One who is the Amen. This salutation could not have been written in the first six church messages, only in the last, the seventh, where all things come to their conclusion, where they are not began but completed. Thus says He who is the Amen, in whom everything becomes reality, who realizes everything. Thus speaks He, not in the first message, not in the second, not in the third or fourth, but in the last, in the seventh church age message. He presents Himself to us as the Amen, in whom all things find their conclusion, as the faithful and true witness, as the beginning of the creation of God. We have already spoken about this too. He who began is the same One who also finishes. He who spoke is the same One who watches over His word in order to fulfill it. For His word does not consist of empty words, but His Word contains the promises that must be fulfilled. And it is precisely in this last church age message that the state of the church is described. You say, I am rich, I have need of nothing. And in the eyes of God, we all look pretty miserable. And there is not one exception that someone could come and say, this word does not apply to me. Anyone who says that is ignoring reality, and they won't be helped because they don't see the help as necessary. But it is precisely here that we are told that you buy thyself to anoint thine eyes that thou mayest see. Here it is not lips that are anointed and not the tongue. Here it is the eyes that are anointed. And we have already spoken about this. Many can speak anointingly, and they speak past God without anointing. This is about anointing the eyes. Why? Last night we read the word of the seers, of the prophets. We live in a prophetic age. It is no longer just about moving the lips. It's about the prophetic view to get the eyesight we need to see as the seer saw. Do we realize this? This is necessary because our own thoughts about God's Word do not get us any further. On the contrary, at best, further away from the goal. We must think the divine thoughts, that thou anoint thine eyes with thyself, that thou mayest see. We think here of the word in the Gospel of John, when the scribes came to Jesus and said to him, do you mean to say that we are blind? And he said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you claim to see, your sin remains. There is the possibility that even in the presence of Jesus Christ, where He speaks, where He reveals His word and His will, people actually live in the spiritual delusion that they see, that they have a very clear view, and that is not possible. In the presence of Jesus, there is no one left who still sees and hears. Everyone loses sight and hearing, and we concentrate solely on what He says and what He reveals. Thus saith He, who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness. We have often emphasized that we believe that the Lord, who walks among the seven golden candlesticks, He is the one who speaks and acts in His church. And we do not wait in vain. We wait for the fulfillment of the promises He has made in His Word. We carry them in our hearts and know that God is watching over them in order to bring them to fulfillment when the hour strikes, to make them a reality. without effort. And we could still exclaim, "But I know of no man, how can that happen?" Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow thee. Therefore, he who is to be born of you will be called the Son of the Most High. Blessed is he who at this time knows of no man, of no human being. Blessed are the people who receive only the pure word of promise. For these will be the ones who will be rewarded for their waiting. The wait will have been worth it. We could stage many human things now. We could make an impression. And what will happen when that is over? What impression will we make then? Where will we be then? Let that be far away. Those who speak the words of God are sent by God, and we know that we cannot fulfill them ourselves, but we can proclaim them and believe them from the heart and wait for them to be fulfilled. Until the last day, we will deliberately refrain from doing anything of our own in the kingdom of God. But until the last day, we will wait for the Lord to fulfill everything he has promised in the church and also through the church in accordance with his word. At the first coming of Christ, many could not wait. One of them pretended to be something special, took a number into the wilderness, and caused confusion among the people. But his own, who were waiting for the consolation of Israel, were patient until the hour of God struck. We too will do the same by grace and be patient, but in perfect faith, without wavering, we hold fast to all that the Lord has said. And to the great multitude who will attend the marriage supper, here it is written, in Revelation 19, last part of verse 9, "These are the true sayings of God." We want nothing more than the true words of God. And if we do not go beyond what God has revealed, then we don't do it ourselves, that we impose restraint on ourselves. Rather, the Spirit of God does not allow us to go beyond what has been written in the Word and revealed by the Spirit and proclaimed in the last message. That is not your merit and not mine. It is the Spirit of God in us that binds us to the Word of God. And a person who is bound to the Word is a person set free by the Spirit. Such a person is then in the freedom of the Spirit, in the liberty of the children of God. All personal interpretation is enslavement and paternalism of others. God does not need anyone to interpret. He has spoken, and we accepted His words. It contains all the promises that are written in God's Word, and we believe them with all our heart. We are also convinced that God cannot and will not add anything more to what He has spoken, for thus it is written, add nothing to His words, and take nothing away from them. This admonition is written not only in Proverbs, but also in the last book of the Bible. And we are grateful for it. We want to be a word bride, a word church, blank spot. This we are not by desperately asking for something. Let us do it with a grateful heart, as Mary did. My soul does magnify the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. Beloved, it is the same with the people of God at this time. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And therefore, when we pray today, let us give thanks to the Lord with trust, with confidence, with perfect faith, that He has not only spoken to us and with us as the faithful and true One, but that as the faithful and true One, He will fulfill what He has spoken and put it into practice, make it a divine reality. And as we have probably mentioned this morning, if the men of God were already called gods in the Old Testament, because the Word came to them, then we may repeat what Paul wrote. We are the offspring of God. Christ, the beginning of the creation of God. We have all been begotten in the same way, by the same Word and the same Spirit, and have been born again unto a living hope by the grace of our God. That is why we have trust and confidence in our God. May He increase it and give us grace to be aware at all times, even when we are going through many depths, being aware that we are bearers of divine promises. Finally, let me ask you a question. Do you think our Lord descended into hell with trembling and fear? Don't believe that. Do you think He was afraid of death and of hell and of the devil? Was it not written? Did not David say in his spirit, I will not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, and I have made known to you the way of life. Weren't there promises written on him? Absolutely. And he went down with this promise. Was it not written that he laid captivity captive and gave gifts to men? Wasn't that written? It referred to him. What did he have to fear? He was the Word made flesh, and every promise of the Word was fulfilled in him, from his birth, through his whole life, through his ministry, through his suffering, in his death, in going down to hell, in his resurrection, in his ascension, everywhere. There were promises that were fulfilled in him. Is it not the same with us? Do we have to trust in ourselves? Do we have to build on ourselves? Then we would be the poorest and most miserable among all men. On whom do we build? On whom do we trust? We build and trust in the living God and His promises. As they found fulfillment on the head, must, of necessity, find fulfillment in all the members of the body. Death, where is your sting? Hell, where is thy victory? Our Lord experienced that every promise that was written on Him found fulfillment in Him. Should we not have the same confidence that every promise God has made to His people will be fulfilled in us? The Scripture cannot be broken here either. What God has said remains. And our Lord is the faithful and true witness. He is the Amen. In Him, everything finds its realization and completion. We are grateful for this, and He wants us to have part in it. Blessed and praised be His holy name. Amen. We thank You for Your mighty presence. We thank You for this weekend, for every word, O Lord, that You have spoken to us. We thank You deeply for it. O Lord, may our hearts have received it. May it bear fruit for the long eternity, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You speak to us so wonderfully, that You are on the plan, Lord, and everything must be subject to You, Lord. Hallelujah. O Jesus, what shall we say to You? Receive the praise, receive the honor and worship from all our hearts and mouths. And I ask You now, especially at the end, bless my dear brothers and sisters, all those who have come, Lord, to hear Your word. Lord, there was certainly an inner longing for Your word, a hunger, a thirst, Lord. May You have blessed their hearts and satisfied their longing. I thank You and I worship You. May You be with them on their way home. Be also with us, Lord, in the days ahead, Lord. We want to keep our eyes fixed on You and on Your work, Lord, because we believe with all our hearts that You will reveal Yourself mightily, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to You and worship. Lord, we don't want to force things, but we wait until we come from believing unto seeing. Hallelujah. Praise and honor to You, the Lamb, now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen.